Hey y'all, I'm CG Townsend, your host of the Being Balanced podcast, a space full of ways to help you stop the glorification of busyness. We're talking aha moments, must-have resources, real life wins, and small shifts that lead to incredible impact. Welcome back, friends, to the Being Balanced podcast. I'm CG Townsend, your host. And if you have been here for a couple of weeks, you know that we are smack dab in the middle of a me time series. We're talking to folks about the things that they love to do to pour into self and how they find the time to do that in the midst of all of the things going on in the world and all of the things that they have on their plate. So I'm super jazzed to introduce you all to my friend and a person that I think really has it nailed in the world of finding time to simply read, Michelle. So Michelle, tell us a little bit more about who you are, what you have going on, and just what's not on your bio.
CG, it is so good to be here with you today. I'm so thrilled. A little bit about me. Yes. So, Michelle, I will say that I am a wife, a mom. I am a great friend. I am an advocate, an activist. I'm a working CSR professional. And I am an all-out bibliophile, which means I am a reader to the core. So that's just a little bit about myself.
And y'all, that was a humble introduction for all of the things she has going on. But basically, you now can see that her plate is full and she has just a little bit of everything going on. And I'd be remiss if I did not mention you are just the curator, leader, collaborator of our amazing book club. Y'all, I've been in a book club with Michelle. Gosh, it was pre-COVID. So.
Oh, yeah. No, I mean, yeah. I mean, it's maybe close to like 8 years.
Yeah.
I mean,
wild. Which is
awesome. I love it. Book club to me is just such a great way to share the joy of reading with your friends. And when I think about, I mean, our book club started when we worked together. So we were colleagues that quickly became friends, that quickly became really good friends, you know, when you kind of get to know people on totally different levels, and reading is one of those ways.
Yeah. No, I mean, I couldn't agree more. I've been a member of so many different book clubs, and you know, they span from the book clubs where you don't really read, you just kind of get together to chit chat and catch up under the guise of, oh, it's a book club. But this one, I mean, we have read a little bit of everything from sci-fi to memoirs and everything in between. We took a trip to see Where the Crawdads Sing when it came out in movie theaters. And we read the book like years before, but we were sitting on the edge of our seats waiting for the movie to come out. So it's been a great ride. And that's why I wanted you on the show, because I love the way that you have corralled this group of people together over the years that are so dialed in to reading. I know for me, when I was having a ton of life transitions and I was having a baby and just so many things were happening, the one thing that was constant in my life was book club.
And I just love that.
And I was like, there's so much change, but we're still having book club. We're still reading. And I credit that experience to you, you know, for corralling us, for keeping us organized, keeping it on our calendar, hell or high water. We're going to book club, y'all, you know?
I'm telling you, man, that calendar coordination is probably like the hardest part, right? And I try to get it out, you know, early in the year so that we just have it on the calendars so that we can navigate and try to make it work to the best of our ability. And I just love our book club. And I will tell you that I do have a few like offshoots where I have almost like dub them impromptu buddy reads with some folks, like one-on-one books. But oh God, I do love our book club. And I love the fact that we've been together for years.
I know. And beyond our book club experience, where we're reading, you know, one book that we've all agreed upon a month, you're reading a lot, right? So tell our listeners, what's your average? How much are you reading a month?
Oh, so yes, I read a lot. I would probably say I average 1 to 2 books a week.
Wow.
I mean, on average. And then, like, you know, on the spring breaks, when I take off of work and I'm with the kids and the kids are, you know, running around on the beach or climbing on in trees or doing some type of physical activity, then I potentially even read more during times like that.
Yeah, which is unbelievable. I mean, the average American is maybe reading a book every few months. Like, that's where we are in the world, you know? And you're just banging them out 1 to 2 a week. That's amazing. And you mentioned your kids, you talked about being a wife, when you shared a little bit more about yourself, being a CSR professional, all of these different hats that you wear. How are you finding the time to read?
You know, the thing is it's become such a, honestly, it's like a lifeline for me in a lot of ways. I really became a reader about 8 years ago, which is around the time our book club started, truly. And I really started reading when my dad got sick. And it was a way for me to escape, really, and escape in a way that I could leave and kind of submerge myself in pages for varying lengths of time, whether I was bringing a book to sit in the ICU or needing to decompress after the day in bed at night, but still be present. Like it's a very quick turnaround time. I can be all in with a book, but then shut it and go about my life when I needed to. But that's really what jump-started me into reading with passion and reading with so much like feeling behind it, because it really gave me just like a very clear way to separate out of what I was going through. Now, actually, this month, this Saturday, it would be 7 years since my dad passed away. But what I realized in kind of sparking the joy of reading through that time is I got really dependent on it. And it gave me such a sense of joy. It gave me a way to, in my opinion, like happily and healthily cope, that it was something that didn't go away when that moment in time that I needed it, you know, really sparked. It continued and it still continues. And it's become such a big part of my life, that it went from something that was really singularly experienced and super purposeful for that moment to something that, like, I'm a book pusher now. People call me a book pusher because I'm, you know, when I'm introducing myself or I'm talking to someone, it doesn't even matter if I'm at a community event or I'm at a work event or I'm meeting someone that my husband knows or I'm talking to someone at my kid's school. It's become such a part of me that as we're introducing each other, you know, getting to know someone new, and one of the first things I say is, hey, are you a reader? Like, it's just such a part of who I am that I like to ask the question, and it becomes a great way to get to know someone too.
And with your full lifestyle, you know, like with all of the different things that you have going on, have you ever felt like you're sacrificing something to find the time to read? Like, you know, tell us how that looks. Like, are you reading after work? Is it the weekend? Tell us more.
Yeah. I mean, I think it's a valid point because we all make decisions, right? So if I prioritize reading, then that means I've made a decision to push other things either to the side or completely off the list. So certainly, like, there's a give and a take. I know that for me, reading has become such a big part of what makes me, again, whole and happy and healthy in a mind space. Like, I'm a big mental health person. And I think that the world is pretty jacked. And it's, you know, it's hard to say that it's going to, like, in the blink of an eye, change anytime soon. So to me, it's like a mental health thing too. But yeah, it's one of those things that I prioritize. First of all, I have a book with me at all times. So, you know, if I'm dropping my kids off at school and I'm waiting in carpool line, I'll read a few pages. Or if I'm going to a doctor's appointment and I'm waiting in, the waiting room, I'm going to be reading my book because that's just kind of how I feel my time and my space. I definitely choose to read over TV. I used to be a big TV watcher. I don't watch a lot of TV anymore. I watch a few series with the husband because he's like, sometimes he's like, Michelle, put the book down. Let's watch something together. Let's, you know, experience something together. But yeah, I think I always have a book with me. I have, and I like books too. So, you know me, I love those hardbacks. I have lots of bookshelves in my home. I have a lot of book piles and stacks around my house too. And I also have a Kindle, you know, like, I'm just one of those people that if I'm traveling and I'm on an airplane, I'm going to be reading a book. And if I'm, you know, at a work conference and I'm done with the dinners and I'm done, you know, I'm not necessarily going to be hanging out at the bars past dinner time. I'm in my room and I'm reading and I'm decompressing and I'm falling into the pages, and that's really where I put my priorities for sure.
So you said so many things that I like just made a mental note. I'm like, ooh, we got to go back to that. So I'm going to start. Actually, you said three things and I'm going to go back to each of them. I love that you shared the different times that you read and having a book on hand at all times. Prior to COVID, I love to read on my commute to work. I decided to take public transportation in Atlanta, better known as MARTA. And it was easy.
I remember that. I remember you saying that.
Devouring books. And it was just such a magical season of life. And then COVID happened and I was working from home. And I really struggled during that transition to figure out, well, when do I read? You know, like, I was rolling out of bed and going straight to my computer for work. And then after work, it was all kid stuff because they, you know, they were home. So it was just a lot. And I realized that weekends were my jam. And I was like, you know what? You read on the weekends now. Like, and that life change really helped. And then as the world started to open back up, I was like, take your book everywhere. I keep a book in the car. I have a book in my purse. Because oftentimes I'm reading more than one book at a time.
So now, like, that I do not know how you do. Yeah. That I've never been able to do.
Well, and I'll tell you, it's because they're different genres. So I like to keep, you know, a self-help-ish book, you know, something along the lines of like development or something nearby. And then usually a fiction, maybe something from our book club, et cetera. So it's like, okay, this is more of like my learning and then this is my fun. But either way, I'm reading them both at the same time. So I'm so glad you shared that. And I hope that listeners are encouraged that you know, you don't have to do it one specific way unless that works best for you. Just having a book readily available can really help you find your pockets of time to read. The other thing that you said that caught my ear was your husband saying, you know, pause and like spend time with me and let's watch a show. You know, tell us more about how you communicate to loved ones this passion around reading. Like, are you leaving dinner and saying, okay, I'm going home because I'd rather read than, than stay late and hang? You know, how are you communicating that boundary and that protection around your reading time?
Yeah, no, that's a great question. I don't know if I really ever thought about it like that. I will say I'm a pretty open book for the people that, no pun intended. dang. I'm pretty direct and open with the people that know me, right? So if you're a friend of mine or you're a pretty good colleague, you're going to know I'm a reader, and it's just a part of my everyday life and what I talk about and where I spend a lot of my time. It's my family knows, like, we talk about things. We're transparent with each other. We communicate. We do a lot of things together. So when I need my own, like, me time, I don't feel terrible about it because we do a lot together. My kids are involved in a whole bunch of sports and we're cheering them on, and we're schlepping them back and forth between games and schoolwork and tutors and Friday night pizza nights. And I mean, we're together a lot. And my kids know that this is kind of like, they equate reading for me to like love of baseball for them. Like, baseball is an outlet for them, and baseball is where they get their joy, and it's where they hang out with their friends, and it's where they spend their time and energy, and they practice it. And you don't get really good at it unless you practice it. And not that I'm saying I read in that way of practicing, right. But to me, I think they look at me and it's kind of like a joke in my house, as you can imagine, but we get Amazon boxes all the time. And my kids are constantly opening them up, even though they don't have their names on it. And it's like, Mom, you got a book. Mom, there's another book. Mom, are you reading this book next? And it's been really, it's been great because, you know, they see me, and, you know, it's a lot of lead by example with parenting all, you know, across the board. And there was a time that I even made a game out of it with my oldest son, Max. And I took one of my stacks of books, and I don't know, maybe six or seven. And I was like, okay, these are my next six or seven that I'm going to devour. And I would put them out on the bed and I'd be like, Max, which one should I read next? And then he picked it. And then, Max, which one should I read next? And then he picked the next one. And that's how it went. I just knew, like, okay, these are the five or six that I'm going to go in the direction of next. And it made him, you know, be a part of it. And yeah. I read everything under the sun, from, you know, romance to sci-fi to women's fiction, contemporary, you know, the whole thing. And we've had a lot of funny times also with my books. Like, my youngest son, Zach, opened an Amazon box a few years ago, and he's like, Mom, is this a six pack? And he's looking at the cover of one of my sports romance novels. And, you know, it's like this guy is shirtless. And I'm like, oh, honey, that actually is an eight pack. But, you know, like, so it's just, the whole family is just, it's a part of it. And they laugh. And it's just, you know, it's just a part of it.
Yeah. I love the way that you've involved your family. It reminds me of walking in on Travis and Trip reading Star Wars. And I was like, wait, when did you guys start reading Star Wars? And Travis loves Star Wars. He watches it. He listens to it, everything. And so he was like, I want to do this with him. So it cultivates this, like, like experience within the family and also your reading. And it's like, it all goes hand in hand. So I'm going to totally write down the idea of just throwing the books on the bed and being like, pick one. I may even let Trinity do it and just see how that all works out.
Exactly. And you know, maybe right now where she's at in her life, she'll just be attracted to the color of a book,
yeah.
But she'll get a sense of, oh, these are important to mom and I'm a part of it. And yeah, it's just, yeah. And actually my husband, who is not a reader, like at all, like zippo. I actually was given a recommendation, but he loves poker. He's a poker player. And I was given a recommendation about a book on poker. And the person that gave me this recommendation said it was the best poker book that they'd ever read and this and that. Well, so I got it for my husband. I got it for Hilly. And he's like, Michelle, this is great. This is amazing. Thank you so very much. And then he went and bought it on audio because he would rather listen to it. And that's fine. That's fine. But that was just, again, a way to get the hubs involved too, yeah. Right? Yeah. You know, like, and I tried so hard. I got him the hardback too, but he went for the audio, but at least he got a chance to experience a book in a way under with a subject that he really enjoyed. And he talks about it all the time. Oh, my wife got me this book and it was so great. I listened to it. He recommends it to all of his friends that play poker. And it's just another way to, you know, spread the joy.
I love that. You know, that ties directly into my third point that I wanted to call out just when you were kind of sharing your experience, is that it's for you. Absolutely. Like, you love to read, but you also are cultivating such an amazing community of people. Like, even just you saying that you walk up to people and you're like, so are you a reader? Like, you know, like you're creating such this amazing community, and not just through book club, but one thing I want to call out that you did during the height of the pandemic, I feel like it was really like in spring, summer 2020, you hosted like a bookmobile.
Oh my God, that was so great.
And I just like, I loved it. And for our listeners, just to give you guys a little history. So Michelle posts on Facebook, basically, that she's hosting like this book swap situation. And I'm like, oh, will you come to my
mobile
book swap. And I'm like, oh, will you come to my neighborhood? And she's like, sure. So she comes to my neighborhood for a couple of hours and parks at our mail center. And I invite all my neighbors to come out and we're swapping books, y'all. And
out of my minivan trunk.
Yes. Yes. So tell us, like, where did the idea come from? Why did you do it? And are you doing it again?
Okay. This is so great. I'm so glad you brought this up. How did I forget this? So you know, my dearest, Judy Bowers, she who is also an avid reader. We tend to, you know, kind of people give us books a lot when they're cleaning out or sharing books with us because they know that we kind of share the love and pay it forward. So we had all of these books, like boxes of books. And, you know, around COVID, it was just so lonely. And I mean, it's just a way to like get out. And we were thinking we can't really have book club. No one felt comfortable. And, but we had all these books and we thought, let's do a mobile book swap. I mean, and that's really how it started. We had these books. We wanted to share the love. We wanted to see people and we wanted to almost like reconnect with our book folks. And we reached out to some very specific people and then kind of opened it up, like you said, on Facebook. And what we did was we mapped out 7 or 8 stops during a day. So we were gone for like 5 or 6 hours and we mapped out, you know, those stops. And at each stop, we encouraged people to come to the location closest to them. So I stopped at my friend Goldie's house in Dunwoody and like 4 or 5 people met in her cul-de-sac.
Yeah.
Like in front of her home. And then your stop, you had your neighborhood. I mean, we must have seen 5, 6, 7 people come out in your neighborhood. And it was such a joyful day. I mean, it filled our cup. And it was just, again, a way to share the joy of reading, connect during the heart of COVID, which was a very lonely, scary time. God, it was so great. Oh, we took pictures. I mean, we're all wearing our masks. We took pictures. No, it was great. We need to do it again. We actually should do it again.
Yeah. And I mean, my neighbors are constantly asking. They're like, when are we doing the book
mode?
And I'm like, you know, we should do that again. So let me get with Michelle.
That's great. I will. I definitely will.
Yeah. I mean, so many people really enjoyed it. And our neighborhood was, you know, we were new construction. So we had all moved in at the end of 2019, early 2020. We didn't really know each other. So we were just always looking for a touch point, you know, like, well, maybe I'll just see a neighbor outside, or maybe I'll be able to
meet
someone. So really grateful for you and Judy for hosting it and doing that. And, you know, spending your gas money to drive around town.
Oh, God. It was our pleasure to be out and to get out and to, you know, see people. And even though we were all wearing masks, and do you remember that time that I asked our book club and a few other folks to pose books with your mask, and we were all matching with
Yes.
Yeah. Oh man. See, just try to have fun like that.
You really are cultivating such a beautiful community through a shared experience. And, you know, that's one other thing that I love about the people that I talk to when it comes to things like me time. It's me time, but it's such a selfless experience. You know, like, it's like, I'm enjoying this. I love this. I want you to also love, enjoy, and know about it. And so thank you. I feel like it's your gift to the world. And we really,
thank you. Yeah. I love it. It does. I think it's all those things, right? I mean, I guess it's that analogy of, you know, in the airplane, you kind of need to put the mask on your face first before you take care of anyone else. Like, to me, it's all those things and what you just said, right? It's about what you need to do for yourself, because when you do those things to make you happy or keep you healthy or keep your mind functioning in a good headspace, then when you're not doing those alone time things and you're with your family or your friends or your work or your colleagues, you're just better.
Yeah.
You're just a better version of a healthier version, I guess, of yourself.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure. So shifting gears a little bit, because a part of your bio, you mentioned that you are an activist and an advocate. And I know that to be true. I feel like you show up as your authentic self, regardless of what situation you're in or who you're with, et cetera. Tell us a little bit more about that. Like, what does that mean to be authentic to the things that you care about?
Oh, yeah, that's so, it's a loaded, you know, so it's a lot of things. I mean, I think for me, I turned 50 last year, and I think that there is something, about that maturing and kind of feeling like I'm, more comfortable in my own self. I will say that I'm a pretty authentic person just in general. I can't say it's always well received, and throughout my life, being authentic hasn't always worked out in my favor for the short term. Mm-hmm. For the long term, I do feel like there is something to be said for the value of looking in the mirror and knowing that you are genuine to who you are. I have a very strong moral compass. So for me, I'm values aligned, and this is the direction that I march. Yeah. But I think that it would be almost physically impossible for me to not be authentic to myself. I think it would be so stifling that I wouldn't be able to, I wouldn't be good for anyone.
Yeah.
And I do feel like you get your best version of yourself when you are authentic. Mm-hmm. You know, it's almost like that, that quote that comes out, like, don't make yourself smaller. The people that need you to be smaller, you know, that's on them. Like, be the biggest you can be bold and smart and out there. And the people that can't handle it, like, that's on them. You don't make yourself smaller. The world makes us smaller. We shouldn't make ourselves smaller. The world does enough damage to us. We shouldn't self-impose. Don't borrow that trouble, if you will.
Yeah.
And I think for me, I, you know, have my master's in social work. So when I started my career, I was very clinical, and I do feel like, although I kind of transitioned from clinical social work to more of like nonprofit leadership to corporate social responsibility in the corporate space, I do feel like there is a very connected line throughout all of those roles. And that is, I can definitely lean into my social worker's heart throughout all of those. Mm-hmm. And I do feel like that's a big part of who I am, me being authentic to me and being an advocate, being speaking up for those who can't speak up for themselves is just absolutely important. And I wouldn't change it any other way.
Yeah. You know, it's so interesting to me when I think about like just the physical component of showing up as your authentic self, like literally like being someone else could make you sick. Like you could just, it's just like, it's impossible to do it. And it reminds me of so many people in this world that day in and day out use so much energy to be someone that they're not. And just the time, the energy investment, the swirl that has to happen in your head and all of these different things. And it just seems like it would be easier to be yourself. But like you said, there are times where it just doesn't always work out, and you have to have a really solid perspective around that to know in the moment that it's not for forever, that it's a short-term assignment. So I really love that you grounded us, you know, in that, because that's just a reminder that you need day in and day out.
Yeah. I mean, and I think the world reminds us of that, right? I mean, we see it every day. So, you know, I think that the number one consequence of stress is fatigue. And I don't think we all take a moment to really process the emotional fatigue, the psychological fatigue. It's not just the physical fatigue, right? It's this like heaviness that you can get from a whole myriad of things, but not being true to yourself is certainly one of them. I mean, it's not along the lines of books, but this past weekend, I actually went to an LGBTQ+ fundraiser event on Saturday. And as you know, there's a lot of swirl going around with some legislative decisions that are not friendly at all to our LGBTQ+ brothers and sisters. And I just, it was very important for me to be there on Saturday night. Not only was it a fantastic event, super fun. I mean, it was Xanadu themed and we went all out. It was just the best. Yeah. But it was an opportunity for me to be reminded I'm not alone. And sometimes being your authentic self, and everyone knows themselves. So, you know, who you are, who they are, who she is, who he is. But for me, I can tell you that sometimes I feel like it's a pretty lonely place. Like sometimes I feel like, am I the only one that feels this way? Am I the only one that's this upset over things? Am I the only one that gets this worked up over what's going on? And Saturday night was just such a great reminder. Like it's important to attach to your community and to be a part of your community and work towards good with other people in the community. And it was just it was a really great reminder. So when you talk about like being an advocate and being a voice, like that's just one of the ways that I try to do that. It was a good reminder.
I mean, you have so many things going on and so many things that you're so passionate about. I love talking to you. I literally, like, I just love talking to you.
Thank you. Back at you for sure.
Yeah. You know, I'm also super mindful of the gift of time. So many people out there. I mean, literally, this is like in the top three questions I get from people whenever I post. Yeah. When I post, oh, I'm reading this or going to book club or, oh my gosh, I love this author. People are like, ma'am, how in the world do you have time to read? So I want folks to know that it's not just me, that there are others out there that are doing it and doing it amazingly. You know, I do have a few more questions, rapid fire questions for you before I let you go. What are you reading right now?
Oh, I just actually finished a fun romance. Like, you know, my default is going to be romance. Like that is just anything with a happy ending these days. Like I'll take it just because it's, again, a happy ending and I need some joy. So yeah, I just finished a sports romance, like a rom-com that was super fun. And then I'm about to jump into our next book club book. Actually, that's the next one I'm reading. Go West with Giraffes. Is that, that's what it was called?
Yeah. Yep. Yeah. Yeah. Same. I need to jump in there. Yep. Same. What has been your favorite book so far in 2023?
Oh God, 2023. I just started. Oh, the pressure. You know, I will tell you that we had two book club books so far this year, January and February. The first one was The Measure.
Yeah.
And that was like, it was mind blowing. Just there was so many themes to unpack with that book. That was a really, really good book, and it was an excellent book club pick.
Yes.
So I really loved The Measure, and I will also say Black Cake to me was an extraordinary read. I know that I was very sad. This was actually, February this past month was the first book club that one person was able to connect, but I was able to have a book club discussion with a friend of mine. She read the book independently and we talked for about an hour and a half on that book, and damn, that book, it was so good. So yes, Black Cake and The Measure, I think were two of my favorite books so far this year, for sure.
For sure. Question number three, who is your favorite all-time author?
You know this one, but I'm going to say it anyways for our listeners out here. So I love supporting indie authors, and I am just a big believer in those grassroots get to know authors from different genres that maybe aren't in Barnes and Noble. And my all-time favorite author is Suanne LaCour. She is just, I can't even with her. I just can't. She is amazing. She writes everything from contemporary romance to fantasy to historical fiction. She is extraordinary, and I highly, highly, highly recommend folks to check her out. She's the best.
Yeah. Yeah. And we know you love a good rom-com, but the question number four,
I do.
If it's not rom-com, what's your second favorite genre?
So, I mean, I do feel like I think that, I don't know about you, but I do feel like the way I intake books and the choices that I make when I read absolutely have everything to do with the headspace that I'm in for the moment. So I will say that as of late, I've done a deep dive into fantasy for all the reasons of escaping what's going on in the world. And I have loved Sarah J. Maas. She's very popular. I'm sure everyone has heard of her Thorn of Court and Roses series, but her newest series is called Crescent City. And talk about strong female characters and best friends and strong women. Women rule this world. And of course there's like vampires and werewolves and, you know, archangels. And anyways, I highly recommend it. Crescent City is a fantastic read. So I'm, you know, fantasy is a good way to escape for sure.
And fifth and final question, if you could go to dinner with one woman, past, present, anybody, who would it be?
That is,
I know you probably need a dinner party, but just one.
I do need a dinner party. Just to be fair, I need a dinner party. You know, I will have to say that I have a custom portrait of her in my room. So I'm going to go full press on RBG and say that, you know, literally every day I look at the piece of artwork that my husband got made for me, a commissioned piece. And yeah. What would RBG do? Like, I think about that quite a bit. So yeah, she would be amazing.
Yeah.
To have dinner with.
Love that. Thank you so much for indulging me on my rapid fire question.
Oh man, this has been the best conversation. I mean, I know it's only, you know, the very, very start of the week. If any of your listeners want to connect on Instagram, I do post my book reviews and some of my book recommendations. So I'd be happy to share if anyone has any other questions about books. I'd be, you know, I love making recommendations. Mish Hill Blondheim.
Yes.
M-I-C-H-H-I-L-L Blondheim.
Perfect.
But then I also like, yeah. And then I also do like # Blondheim bookaholic. Yeah. Yes. Yeah. That's what I do too. Yes. Yeah.
That's a great way to find everything. And y'all, she gives like the most thorough reviews like ever. So you definitely wanted to check out Instagram, follow on Instagram. I will post both her handle and the hashtag in the show notes, just in case you're on the go and you couldn't jot it down real fast. But thank you again so much for being here with us today, for being a part of this conversation and community. I know so many people are walking away with amazing thoughts around just really an investment into me time.
Thank you for the opportunity. This has just been just an absolute delight and pleasure. I've loved every minute of it. Truly, thank you.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. And friends, thank you for tuning in. Definitely hit the subscribe button so that you don't miss any new episodes. We're wrapping up our Me Time series with Terry Broussard Williams next week, where she will talk about the Great Me Set. Have a great one.